Often, people with severe mental illness lead shorter lives, sometimes up to 25 years less. For historically underserved populations and minorities, this can be compounded. A recent Kaiser Family Foundation report found that rates of death by suicide are rising faster among Black, Hispanic, and other people of color than whites. There are many reasons for this, including access to care, stigma, and even implicit bias in the healthcare system itself. There isn't one magic solution to all of these problems, but as Denver Health has found out, an integrated care system goes a long way towards reducing health disparities and providing the care that patients need and deserve. Welcome to Advancing Health, a podcast from the American Hospital Association. I'm Tom Hederle with AHA Communications. In this podcast, hosted by Rebecca Chicky, Senior Director of Behavioral Health Services with AHA, we learn how Denver Health's commitment to integration as a tool for increasing access to behavioral health has benefited the communities it serves by reducing stigma and health disparities. As Matthew Hogue, Director of Integrated Behavioral Health for Denver Health, says, a patient can now discreetly get all of their health conditions addressed in one place, and that's incredible. Here's Rebecca.
It is my honor indeed to be here with Matthew Hogue from Denver Health. He has so much experience in the value of integrating physical and behavioral health, and it's an honor for myself and our listeners today to be able to listen and learn from him. Today, we're really going to focus on the value of integrating physical and behavioral health in terms of how it can help reduce health disparities for historically underserved communities, individuals, and communities of color, as well as those individuals who suffer from severe and persistent mental illness, such as schizophrenia and bipolar disorder. The reason that these things are so important is what Matthew's going to share with us, but I want to put in just a couple of thoughts. One, when you hear what he says about the importance of integration and the value that that delivers for individuals with severe and persistent mental illness, one of the really important things is that is what people often refer to as bidirectional integration, meaning individuals with severe mental illness often die 17 to 25 years earlier than those individuals without. And that's not due to suicide. That is due to their inability because of poor management in many cases of their mental illness. And then health disparities exist across the board for communities of color. And when you begin to look at it through the lens of behavioral health care, unfortunately, the magnitude of those disparities often goes up. So with that as general background, Matthew, can you tell me just a little bit about the realities, as I started talking about, and the vulnerabilities around mental health disparities, and what are those challenges that those individuals face?
Thank you, Rebecca. Before we start, too, I just want to acknowledge my privilege as a white male, and just hammer home that I choose to work in a community health center here at our Denver Health Hospital because I believe in our organization's mission to provide all in our community access to the highest quality and equitable health care, regardless of the patient's background or ability to pay. So really appreciate the opportunity to talk on these topics. You know, what we know is that an estimated 43% of people with mental health concerns are connected to care, and that's a pretty alarming statistic. Some of the realities and challenges for individuals of color include implicit bias, which comes up quite a bit in how patients might be identified or selected for referrals to behavioral health or identified or even properly diagnosed. And so this plays a huge impact for individuals of color. The other thing that's kind of difficult within behavioral health is it can be very difficult to navigate our complex health system, but even more specifically, our sometimes complex behavioral health system, because it can be difficult to know what somebody feels like they need to be connected to. And so if there isn't really good screening, really good assessment, sometimes individuals and families are at a loss of where to go or where to start or who even to ask to begin that journey. I think another area that we see and that we're trying really hard as an organization to impact is a lack of diversity among our care teams. We at Denver Health have community health centers. And what I love about Denver Health is these community health centers are situated in very historic neighborhoods within Denver County, where I think the fifth largest federally qualified health system in the country. We strive to have those clinics be a reflection of those communities they serve. Really requires us to have staff that are a reflection of those patients. Why that's important is because trust is incredibly important with a care team to be able to break down some of these racial disparities. Now, where does integrated behavioral health come in with this? I could talk about integrated behavioral health all day. We have really good research that shows that it improves patient outcomes, it reduces total cost of care, increase access above all to behavioral health. And we also see that patients like it. What is incredibly valuable to me is that when I have a medical provider pull me in to consult with a patient for a behavioral health concern, sometimes that patient has been coming to that clinic for 10, 15 years. Their parents had gone there. Their parents still go there for care. Their kids get their vaccinations, get wellness exams there. And so when I come into the room, I have this unparalleled level of support and trust already, because that medical provider who has that trust with that patient says, this is Matt, he's an expert in X, Y, and Z, depression, whatever, substance treatment, and he wants to come talk with you to see how we can support that goal or support, you know, let's talk a little bit more about, you know, what's going on over here. And that's the value of integrated care.
You have talked about the importance of trust, the fact that it's real time, meaning you can call in a medical provider or you can be called in as the expert to help that patient real time. Is that something that you see has also been beneficial in terms of reducing the stigma? Because you've used the term trust a couple of times, but often we hear the horrible word, the big thing in the room, the stigma of even seeking or talking about mental health treatment or my anxiety or panic attack. Is that another aspect of this?
Absolutely. Stigma, I'm glad you brought that up. Stigma is all about what we're trying to reduce and where integrated behavioral health can be really substantial. Early on in my career with integrated behavioral health, I specialized within substance treatment and co-occurring as well with other behavioral conditions. But one thing I always, when I walked into the room, is I always try to keep into focus that it is very likely that the individual that I'm about to meet has had a negative interaction or has been judged for a behavioral health or substance treatment condition at some point prior to meeting me. And so I try to think about how I approach that from a culturally sensitive way, but also identify and create some safety where I can. I'm very fortunate to have that collaborative medical team to help with that trust, but it's something that we have to be very, very cognizant about because it is a reality that's in the room.
It's so very important because stigma exists for all of us, regardless of your ethnicity, the location or culture that you've been brought up in, your skin color. But unfortunately, for many, many different cultures and even genders, we still see the statistics show that women are more likely to ask for help than men, regardless of everything else. And then within certain cultures, that stigma is at a much higher bar. So it's just uplifting and hopeful that integration can address those in a way that is seamless in many ways.
Absolutely. And I think what folds into the trust piece is the cultural competency of our staff. And so, you know, our organization and our integrated behavioral team places part of our values as a team is around diversity, equity, and inclusiveness and belonging, and how that shows up in our clinical practice, being able to identify microaggressions within teams and being able to have open discussions about how that influences us as providers, but also impacts our ability to deliver effective clinical care. Something that is also really important with this in order to have and to recruit for diverse care teams is we often put a lot of emphasis on recruitment, but retention is also really important for keeping that healthy for our teams.
As we begin to wrap up, are there a couple of things that you think have made Denver Health's program successful?
I think the thing I most appreciate about where I work is the individuals I work with as well. We're a large organization and we have done some pretty cool things that are a little out there, but we're not afraid to try that. One particular project I want to highlight is we just last year launched a mobile opioid treatment unit. And this was a collaboration between our brick and mortar opioid treatment program and our community health services. And so this mobile unit actually goes out to two of our qualified health centers, our Eastside and Westside Clinic. And we do walk-ins for opioid treatment, particularly for methadone. And what's amazing about that is if you know how sometimes there's some realities and difficulties with accessing methadone, it's very regulated, very structured. You usually have to go really early in the morning to receive that. We did something where we enhanced a lot of current patients' care because we have patients who go to the Eastside Health Center, then go across town to the opioid treatment program. It's not quite integrated, but what I will call is it's very co-located and very collaborative, but a patient can discreetly now get all of their health conditions addressed in one place. And that's incredible, especially with fentanyl opioid epidemic, being able to enhance care in a way that is trauma-informed, as well as kind of helping break down some of those barriers to access. I like that we get to do that. I'm incredibly grateful, and it feels incredibly special to be able to try to do things like that to really enhance care for all of our patients.
So the key point, I think, for the listeners is to not be afraid to try. That was unusual. That's out of the box. I think sometimes when we're young, we try everything, right? Sometimes to the demise of our parents or whoever is bringing us up, but we're not afraid to try. And sometimes I think the world changes that perspective. So we need to remember, don't be afraid to try, because all you're trying to do is to improve outcomes and reduce the cost of care and improve somebody's life. Thank you so much for sharing your time and your expertise with us today. Thank you for the work that you're doing across the fine mountain city of Denver. And thank you for your passion, for your work.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for listening to Advancing Health. Please subscribe and rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.